Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. A star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome to Kill Me Now. I'm just going to preface today with some items. I've never said items here. Some items.
What's on the agenda?
Okay, here's the agenda today. First of all, I am getting off my Paxil. So I'm on 5 milligrams now.
What did you start with?
I think I was on 30, then I went to 20, then I went to 10. Then they don't make 7.5s. So, and you can't like cut a 10 to 7.5.
Right.
So I was on liquid and I kept fucking spilling it all over the counter and it's $58. Mm. So I had a syringe and I'd put the liquid in my mouth.
And
okay.
You're spilling it because why? Because you're shaking.
Because I'm like, no, because I'm like, you've been to my kitchen.
Oh, okay. That's why. I thought
like,
it was
I
because
take
you were
it and then
off.
I put the cap on. It's not on right. And then the whole fucking thing falls all over the fucking place. $58. And then I started taking the syringe and trying to suck it up off the stove, okay? So then I called the doctor. I'm like, listen, I've been on 7.5 for a while. Can we, you know, what should I do? I can't do the liquid because it keeps fucking spilling. And it's $58. So she's like, okay, why don't we go down to 0.5? I am so dizzy. Ugh. Brain zaps. And then I went to the doctor, the endocrinologist, and she's like, don't you know they call Paxil Paxon? Because I've gained so much weight. That's why I'm getting off of it, because I gain weight and now I have sleep apnea. All right, whatever. So that's that. So to begin today with my Kill Me Now moment, this literally happened. So I had an audition before I got here. Now I'm late because the audition, I didn't even go in until after this, whatever. I go on the subway and I have like one of those things on your phone that you can put your fucking Metro card in or whatever. You know, like the pocket, you could stick it on.
Yeah.
And you can put in like your credit card or whatever. All right.
Yeah, a little silicone.
So I buy a monthly Metro card, which is like $100 and something. Okay.
I swear to God, I go to the subway today and I pull out my phone and I take out my MetroCard. I'm putting it in. I go, you know, this is what I'm thinking in my head. I love these little pocket things. I used to always look for my fucking MetroCard. And now, you know, this was a really good thing. I literally remember thinking that. I'm walking. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I have that. I don't waste any time looking for a I fucking go to my audition. I'm leaving to go on the subway. The fucking MetroCard is fucking gone. It's fucking gone. After I had that thought.
This just happened to Hemda. Too.
But it's like, why did it fall out? It's sticky. I hate everyone. Why?
It needs like a buckle on it or something.
Okay, but I literally had that. Why do I have that thought of like grateful? Hashtag grateful that I have the fucking pocket thing. And then I look like, why?
Because life is suffering.
So now everyone I've spoken to today with the security downstairs, they're like, hi, how's your day going? Shit, I lost my fucking monthly MetroCard. I told someone on the subway too. All right. Anyway, welcome to Kill Me Now.
Yay.
It's a very special episode as I'm coming off my medication. I am really excited about our guest today.
Me too.
Because I've known her. Do you want me to say her?
Sure.
Whatever you prefer.
Her is fine.
Is your phone playing music?
What the fuck? The fuck is wrong with me? Anyway, I've known Lady Bunny since the 80s. Ladies and gentlemen, Lady Bunny. Let's give it. And it's like you have a special place in my heart because of all our community went through during that time in New York and just wig stuff, like everything, like the culture of our community. And you're my age. I mean, you're 3 months older, and it's very obvious. It's like I have such a special place in my heart, well, you know?
Well,
it's,
thank you.
I love you.
Thank you.
I mean, and you're sick.
Yeah. I am sick today, but, you know, that was a wild time when Wigstock was happening because, yeah. You know, all the gays, you know, or a lot of them lived in the East or West Village. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could walk to the bars. And then, of course, the AIDS crisis was starting.
What?
Yeah. The AIDS crisis.
I never heard of that.
Like, yeah, it was really happening. Sickening. Everyone kind of, you know, there was an act up fight back thing going
right.
on. And it really kind of, you know, and as much as it was a tragedy and we saw a lot of friends drop.
Right.
It also bound the community together.
Oh, absolutely. I always say that, you know, to the young kids now, that we were so separate before, like the lesbians and the gays, the bisexuals, whatever. But it's like we really became such a strong community after and during that period of time. And the culture, it was so, I think it was important to still have fun. You know what I mean? Like, and I think you were such a big part of that. You know what? We're not going to fucking crawl in a hole and all die. We're going to fight this and we're going to laugh and we're going to dance. And
well, I always thought that my role was to be that of the jester because
right.
I arrived here in,
of
you know,
course.
Like at age 22. So I was not hip to politics
right.
or knowledgeable about, you know, and I would do ACT UP benefits. But
right.
I knew that I wasn't going to be the driving force between
right.
getting medications approved.
Right.
Or allegedly.
Right.
But I am a clown. So,
right.
you know, gathering everyone
we always
in the park.
Need the clowns.
Well,
hello?
Especially in dark times.
Yeah.
Send them in.
That's funny.
Nice.
Oh God, Patrick's here. If I sing Send in the Clowns, how much is that, Patrick? By the way, let's welcome back Patrick.
Hey, Patrick.
Patrick is here. Seth's been here the past, you know, couple months because Patrick got mad at me. But we're happy to have Patrick back because Seth, look, can we just talk about Seth for how annoying
wow,
he is?
What a dick, right?
No, I love Seth, but you know what, Patrick? With the new Seth time here, I do appreciate you more. Because
he needs to be put on
voice probation. Right, he does. He needs a little voice probation.
I'm not even going to say anything to that.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. And, I mean, I never get the numbers from him.
Oh.
He never sends, like, updates on any... Whatever. Anyway, so let's start from the beginning, because you have an interesting life. I mean, I find anyone who was brought up in the South who's gay, trans, bi, whatever. Like, I mean, I grew up in New Jersey. It was bad enough. But the South is a whole other world to me. And, I mean, did you see the video? Did you see the video on Twitter of the guy? Because today, by the way, we're recording the day that fucking pedophile is, might win, you know, a Senate
yes.
seat.
Yep.
And there was a guy, did you see this on Twitter?
No.
I'm going to play it.
Okay.
His daughter committed suicide because she was gay, and he's such a
holy roller.
No, he was. Where the fuck is it? Sorry, people. And he was protesting. Here it is. Here we go. Listen to this. Okay, can I put this on the thing?
That's her right there. Judge Roy Moore called her a peeper. On one reason, because she was gay.
This is his daughter.
If he called her a prevert, he called your child a prevert if she was gay, or your son was gay. This is something people need to stop and think about. You're supposed to uphold the Constitution. The Constitution said all men are created equal. Well, how is my daughter a prevert just because she was gay? Does it mean she was born gay? I don't know the answer to that. But she was gay. There she is.
Are you a man of faith?
Am I a man of faith? Yes. I am.
And Sharon Callahan okay. is gone.
Wow.
Okay, but he goes on and on. Wait.
Being out here tonight, what do you hope to accomplish?
I don't know what I'll accomplish. I really don't. I had mixed emotions about coming, but somebody needs to speak up. And if it's all to no avail, so be it. It won't be the first time I've done something to no avail, okay?
How far of a drive
is it?
But
my sign there speaks for itself, and my sign is true. Sir?
How far of a drive was this for you?
I'm only about 15 and 20 miles away. I was born here in Midland City.
Sir, are you suggesting that the suicide of your daughter was because of...
No, I'm not suggesting that. I was anti-gay myself. I said bad things to my daughter myself, which I regret. But I can't take back what happened to my daughter. But stuff like saying my daughter's a prevert, sure, I'm sure that bothered her. Now.
Okay. So.
I just said my daughter. He didn't call my daughter by name.
Okay.
All gay people are preverts. Abominations. That's not true. We don't need a person like that representing us in Washington.
Okay, I mean that...
Well, her death is not in vain. These are the guys that need to be speaking out.
I mean, first of all, it makes me sad that his daughter's not here to see that.
She took one for the team.
Right. I mean, the fact that I have completely ignored since I've watched this 100 times that he says prevert instead of pervert.
That's amazing.
That is really amazing. But... That's how you grew up. Is that what?
No, that's not how I grew up, because my parents, you know, always had that thing. Like I would say, don't you, you know, I would watch TV shows
right.
where girls would snare husbands who were
right.
doctors or lawyers. And I would
right.
ask them, don't you want me to be a doctor
right.
or lawyer? They'd say, not if we don't want. And now they say, you really called our bluff.
Right.
You know, because, you know, listen, my parents were kind of like the town liberals
right.
in Chattanooga. My dad was an anti-draft counselor in the Vietnam War. He was an advocate of public transportation
right.
to save on gas because of the gas
right.
shortage of the 70s, and he's cheap.
First of all, what do you feel when you hear, like, see that?
Well, I don't think that it's it may be worse in the South, but I don't
right.
think it's unique to the South. And
I think
it's why I got out of the South.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's not the only reason
right.
because I kind of somehow myself I found a way to get over on right. them, whether it was, you know, being an acknowledged sissy who wasn't good at sports, but somehow they did not think I was a prevert. Right. They didn't think that I was drooling while molesting
right,
kids.
Right, right.
They knew I was one of us, them, because I'd grown up with them.
Right.
And, you know, they may not have agreed with my dad's views, but I just, I mean, I wanted to get out of there for a variety of reasons, but that was definitely one.
You know,
I mean, you walk down the street and that bottle comes flying at your head.
Right.
You know, and, you know, before the AIDS struggle brought us together, it was the struggle for, you know, legal protections.
Right, right.
So to someone at age 55 like me, sometimes I read how many letters are in the LGBT element
right.
LMNOP
oh my God,
backslash,
you
whatever.
Can I tell
sometimes
you something?
I just like, wow, that's a real luxury. You
right.
know, I'm not trying to poo-poo anyone's identity because my own
you
is
haven't
so,
seen my bit.
I rolled my eyes because you both have the same joke.
Well,
I have a huge
bit in my act about the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community. And it's huge. It's controversial because, like, I love the LGBT community. And you do too. I mean, we fought.
We are it.
But you know what? Sorry. We're not going to, you know, like, I'm this, so I want to be called. No. You know, you don't get to change the name. You know what I mean?
It's just including more
people.
It's
not including. I think it's, you know, this is what they call identity politics, you know?
Totally.
And it's sort of, you're like, I mean, you're alienating the people who want you to live with dignity. You know,
and who you want to accept you
right.
because you are defining things in such stringent terms.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm a queen, honey. In and out,
right.
I don't jump out of my wig
right.
and become an alpha man.
Right.
You know, with a gym body.
Right.
I am a queen. I'm a
right.
sissy.
Right.
You know, so it's like the I am one of those non-binary
right.
gender queer
right.
thing. I am that.
Right.
You know,
and but
I just don't feel the need
that.
To be precious.
Right.
I don't feel the need to be
right.
precious about it. And it's like I did some event in Chicago at their Gay Pride at the Center,
mm-hmm.
and the actually I shouldn't even say the name of the city because I don't want to get anyone in trouble because
no,
this
won't.
Is such a hot, you know, like
babe. Yeah.
But he confessed to me after seeing my show where I do a similar bit. He was like, "We have changed the name on the plaque on the bathroom three
no
times
lie.
This month."
No
I
way.
Said, "Call me ridiculous or old fashioned or you know, but I would rather see that money go to AIDS victims or seniors
right.
with no meals or housing or whatever."
It's this, you know, I feel like, I mean, this is they. Look, all right, the Vietnam War, I remember them coming home. I remember watching TV and them coming home. Did I live through the Vietnam War? No, I was too young. I mean, I did, but, you know, I wasn't cognizant of what was going on. I do remember them coming home and how emotional it was. You know, these millennials, if you will, have not really, I mean, Clinton, everyone had money, you know. Bush, horrible war, but really not, you know, 9/11 was horrible. We'll get to that. But I'm just saying the privilege that they lived with and grew up with. And it's like this sort of spoiled attitude. It's really off-putting because you worked so hard. I worked so hard. We're activists. In our bones, we are activists who want, you know, you know, the other side is always like, you want more rights. Why should I give it? No, we want the same rights. No, we're not asking mm-hmm. for anything more. You know, mm-hmm. it's like I've had relatives like, why do you have to have a parade? Why do you have to have a fucking parade? Why do you have to have, like, you know, St. Patrick's Day parade and this parade? Why can't I have a fucking parade, you know?
Right.
Well, we need a parade because unlike straights, we're not the norm and
right.
we have to fight for our rights.
And also, it's the funnest fucking parade in the entire world. But it's just, it's really hard because you don't want to be Archie Bunker, but...
Well, it's funny that you mentioned the economy because,
right.
You know, through Clinton and then Bush and then the recession kind of, you know, set in and it hasn't really left, which
right.
I think is maybe the reason the clubs died
right.
and people now sit scrolling. All you need is an internet connection. You don't have to put on a look and go out
right,
to clubs.
Right,
and so
right.
all the big clubs, you know, those giant tunnels,
it's so horrible.
Playing, they're dead. You know, so
that was where we all, I mean, that's where it all.
Well, that was where we found community so we weren't bickering online.
Right.
But I wonder if the conditions to where we are you know, compartmentalizing, you know, oh, I put a red mascara right. on one eyelash and a blue on the other and grew a beard. Therefore, right. today I am gender non-binary,
right,
whatever.
Right.
I don't want to frown anyone's sexual expression. I've worn women's clothes to work for right. 30 years. You know, I don't want to frown.
But it's also
I wonder if it has something to do with the recession, because it's like young people who I don't like their music. I don't like their video games, you know, but I was Lady Bernie, supporting Bernie Sanders in the primary.
Right.
And so I felt for them because their situation is this. Can't afford college, saddled with a lifetime of debt. And then if you get out, maybe you get a job at McDonald's. There's not a clear-cut path to success.
But not all of them are like that, you know?
No.
I also think that there's...
But I wonder if that what makes them want to compartmentalize their gender, because they're seeing climate change. They're seeing, recession that never really ended. They're seeing Trump, you know? And I wonder if they're wanting to compartmentalize what they can and micromanage what they can do. I mean, that's just a theory.
It's a good one. I think it's valid. I think it's also that
correct.
That we had a black president. I also don't think they know what that meant. That, you know, and that they had, we had a black, like, they don't get how fucking big that is. You know, it's just like gay marriage. I think that, you know, like my kids, they're like, why, you know, they would ask me, well, I don't understand why you can't get married, you know. But when I think back to Edie Windsor and Thea Speier, that in 1967, Thea proposed to her, thinking in her head, this is a possibility. Like, I was five. There's no way I ever thought that would be that a gay person could get, you know what I mean? But they see all these possibilities. And now, I don't know. I just think it's sort of a spoiled.
They don't have anything to compare it to. So
right.
like you were saying, both of you, they were born into this kind of dystopian feeling type thing, being told that they can do whatever they want to do. And they're kind of jaded. And I find that they have no patience. Because they don't have anything.
Well, they don't have patience because they fucking have a phone and they don't
and
know what it's like to be bored.
Precious.
That's the thing. You know, most great work you were a kid when you're bored and you're like, what can I do? That's creativity.
Yeah.
No one's fucking bored anymore. And that's the problem.
Yes.
Well, there's an
Simon
assault
Sinek.
On our senses.
Right.
And, you know, I look at people, you know, if you wonder why the clubs die, it's like, because even in the clubs, people are sitting there scrolling.
And
it's just like.
They should have clubs where they take your fucking phone.
Actually, they do jam the sensors at certain clubs.
Right.
Either because they want them to be so wild or
right.
they don't want that people are disrobing, or maybe because there's,
right.
you know, drugged out behavior
right.
or whatever. But they do that.
Right.
And a friend of mine DJs all over Europe, and I said, so do they dance? He said, they don't dance here in D.C. at the club where he works. I said, do they dance in Europe when you do these gigs? He said, yeah. I said, why is that? He said, because they're out in castles outside with really thick walls outside the city, so they don't get a cell phone. So I said, if you take away the cell phone,
then
they will
have
actually
to
buy
interact.
Each other a drink,
right.
interact, talk, dance. But, honey, they're not going to take away the cell phone.
Right.
We're,
I know.
As you said, over 50.
I loved life without cell phone. All right. So let's go back. Were you born in North Carolina?
Wilmington.
Oh, very nice. There's a school there. University of North Carolina.
Is there? I got out soon and grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Chattanooga. Wow.
Where there's also a university.
So University of Tennessee. Why did you move from North Carolina to Tennessee? Father, work?
Well,
mother?
My parents said they wanted to be an 8 hours drive from their family, who were all in Greensboro area. And so that the parents could never drop in.
Oh, that's
and
a
I
good
said,
idea.
You taught me well, honey. Why you think I moved to New York? It's a 3-day drive for you to get up here.
They don't sound so bad. Now, do you have any siblings?
Yes, a sister, Jan, in Philly, who I spent the Thanksgiving holiday with.
Are you younger, older?
She's 3 years older. And always will be.
That's right.
That is. Where does she live?
In a suburb of Philly.
Oh, that's good. What suburb?
Exton.
Oh, I never heard of that. Is that in Pennsylvania?
Well, that's the train stop.
Oh, all right. All right. So, okay. So, were you a good student?
I was. I didn't apply myself like right. I should.
Oh, just yeah.
Yeah. So
she
I think
doesn't
that...
apply herself. If she applied herself, she would get straight A's. All right,
exactly.
Go.
Exactly.
So, what? I'm so fascinated by the South. What was your, like, did you have a lot of land? Was your neighbor, were your neighbors really close? What did your, like, did you go to church?
Oh, yes. Like, oh, yes.
What kind of church?
Well, we went to a Congregationalist church.
Okay, which means what?
Well, it's like a little bit more liberal than Methodist.
Okay.
But my dad actually went to seminary before.
No way.
And ditched it and then became a history professor. So.
Wow, he's smart.
Yeah. And
wait, seminary like to be a priest?
Yeah.
Do you think he has a little gay in him?
Oh, no.
Not, really?
Not to be a Catholic priest. But now they're Quaker. They converted when I was around.
Oh, the Quakers are so nice.
I know. So they're, you know, cool with gay stuff.
Where did they meet your parents?
In high school in North Carolina.
Do you think they ever cheated on each other?
Well, I would never presume to air my parents'
you're such
dirty
a lady.
Laundry
you're
on
such
the radio.
I just only ask that because if you meet someone in high school, like, you have to fuck other people. You know what I mean?
I don't know about the Ingalls. They're still together right. In the house I grew up in. I don't go down there too much because my sister lives in Philly.
Oh, the Ingalls don't get wilder.
Yeah, Laura. All right, so you... So then, were you popular in high school and everything?
Well, you know, I had like the jock friends that lived in my neighborhood.
Right.
So that was so lucky for me because even though I was a queen, they accepted me. And it was just, like I say, they thought someone gay was a drooling pervert and right. I was not that.
Right.
So,
but like you asked your parents for a Barbie, right?
Oh, of course. And they said, we thought that this might make you gay and we were hesitant to give it to you. And I said... If I wanted it, I think I was already gay.
Right. Yeah. Oh, you talked to him about it afterwards.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean,
I did ballet and stuff.
Right.
I mean, if they didn't know that I was, I mean, my parents aren't dumb.
Right.
You know, they never went through that moment of, oh, what have we done wrong?
Right.
You know, even though I came out in the late 70s.
Right.
So
that's
my sister
awesome.
Actually ratted me out, even
what
though
the
I had.
Fuck is wrong with her?
I had been so quiet about all her sexual
right.
exploration with anybody
then.
That wanted it.
Right.
No, I never ratted her out.
What did she? How did she rat you out?
I don't even remember. I just remember I was building up to tell them. And then it's like, boom, done.
Wow. Did they freak out?
No. I mean.
You are so lucky.
I am very lucky in the parents' department. And when I came to New York, I realized, wow, I'm a drag queen. My
right.
parents don't understand. And I wasn't a successful one,
right.
you know, at all.
Right.
You know, doing piddly, you know, bar gigs.
Right.
And. Not only did my parents accept me, but I realized that so many of my friends had come to New York because their parents didn't even accept them as gay.
Right.
So
exactly.
mine are like fine with the drag queen. My mother lets me put a wig and false eyelashes, feather bow, take her out to to Jackie 60 when that was going. And I was like, Mom, this is a trans hooker. This is a crack dealer. She's such a good sport.
She was a nurse, right?
She was.
Like in a hospital or?
Many hospitals, but then she became a nursing home ombudsman where she supervised nursing homes where, you know, they like let
right.
people fall out and break a bone
right,
and just
right,
throw
right.
them back in the, or get
right,
bed
right,
sores
right.
or whatever. So she actually went on to become, you know, like supervise seven counties and get an honorary degree in nursing
wow.
from, I think, LSU. So
that's great.
Yeah. I mean, for someone who was somewhat country from North Carolina, it was kind of a big deal for her.
Right.
And they wouldn't let her retire because she was so great. Anytime they had to train someone, they would haul Lady Becky back out. So, yeah,
that's
she's
so cute.
Yeah, it is cute.
She
calls herself the Queen Mother and is always threatening
true.
To storm the stage at my shows.
That's
and
great.
Show everyone who the real talent is with her tambourine. And she also does singing seniors. And I said, you know,
oh
she said,
God.
Oh, the other day, So what did you do in your Christmas recital? Because they went to Ireland once,
right.
And she said, we did all these Gregorian chants. I was like, Mom,
so boring.
Ireland is in Europe. Right. I don't think they need to hear a Chattanooga
right.
accent.
Right.
Gregorian. I don't think they need to.
That's how bluegrass happened.
Yeah. I know, but she said, well, we don't take charge admission, but we have a love offering. I said, Mom, please tell me you're not stripping again, because those days that ship has sailed. She said, well maybe out of pity I would make more money if I did it. So she and I have a great relationship and kid around and all that, but I've told her what she needs to do. She needs to come out there, ladies and gentlemen, the singing seniors, have the men come out with canes and the women come out with IVs
on
wheels and sing Staying Alive.
That's such a great idea. You could direct it.
I know, but they want the Gregorian chants.
That's so boring. All right.
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer. And I had a delicious lemon ginger liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it. And so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And, you know, it's getting warmer out. And what does that mean? Summer. Oh, God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. Can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
So in high school, you went to a thrift store.
Yes.
And found the Female Impersonator's Handbook.
Yes.
Is it a thrift store in Tennessee?
In Chattanooga, Tennessee. I do not know where that came from.
Now,
but
let's describe you finding that book. Like, you're in the thrift store.
Right.
You're just looking around for shit, and then boom.
Well, people ask me what my influences are, and of course I love Barbara Eden and right. Charo and Carol Channing.
She was my first crush, Barbara Eden.
Wow, you're so gorgeous.
I know, right?
But the real thing that was my inspiration was this book, because it was in the late 60s, so, you know,
right.
They wore the upper and lower right. false eyelashes, and so it really crafted my look. One of the stars on the cover of the book is Ricky Renee, mm-hmm. who she moved to Europe decades ago, but she actually had a bit part in Cabaret.
Really?
Yes, and she was gorgeous.
Right.
And, you know, just had
and
like
the
a special
fucking dresses. Like, did you see that?
And they all sang live back
the
then.
Belt.
They did. Right. They did not. They had these reviews that would tour around.
Right.
Called the Jewel Box Review.
Right.
Then there was one on the Black Chitlin Circuit called the Pearl Box Review, which oddly
Pearl
enough.
Bailey.
Well, not that upscale. But if you remember from Paris is Burning,
yeah.
the Queen Dorian Corey,
right.
who mummified her boyfriend. She was actually in the Pearl Box review.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
So, and the album, it was a double album. This is the, it's a collector's item.
Right.
But they one whole album is they invite like a really drunk, possibly homeless guy in there to say things to the queens like, to Dorian, like,
right,
you're a big, fine, high, yellow heifer. You know, I mean, it's just like the most, it's like you cannot even believe that some of these,
right,
you know,
right,
and many of our pyramid, you know, things, we would lip sync to stuff like that, not because we couldn't sing or do it, but because you could not believe that,
right,
anyone,
right,
actually, you know, recorded this. Like,
right,
there's one sexual album, and I guess swingers played this at parties, but there's like an old Irish guy that they used to do the voiceover, and he's trying to turn this woman on, and he's saying, ho, 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 right, darling, when I get a hold of your cunt. And I'm like, oh my God, who is,
I like that,
who is that going to turn on? I mean, he sounds like, you know,
I'm gonna
70.
I'm going to say cunt as much as I possibly can now.
You are a cunt.
First, okay, did you go to college?
I went to 2 years, a little bit at University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, where my dad taught, and then like a year
did
and a half at Georgia
free?
State.
Don't the professor's kids get to go for free?
I did, but I was
studying?
Such a brat, just general. I moved to Atlanta, met RuPaul, and
not there yet!
Okay.
You're fucking skipping ahead!
I'm sorry. Well, I didn't really, you know, I mean, there was no, I'd been over to England,
right,
and seen
you
all the...
You went to high school in England, right?
For 2 years, took my A-levels. I didn't say I passed them, but,
wait,
I did
why
go.
Why did you go to...
Because it was a Quaker school, and my parents thought that I would become a Quaker. Instead, I became a drag queen, androgynous, wearing all that new wave, Adam Ant, you know, bullshit,
stuff.
I mean, Annie Lennox had a group called The Tourists.
Yes.
You know, so that was the ska, the specials. That was all the stuff
so
that I was into.
So did you live, like, in a dormitory?
Yes.
With other... Was it all boys?
It was all boys, but we had a sister school, and this was the gagger. I lucked out because there were 7 guys in my room.
Right.
None of them assaulted me. No.
Right.
Every one of them represented, like, the best in math, the principal's
right.
son, the best in soccer, the best in something. So somehow I, a queen, was able to get over. And when they had the school dances, because I love to dance and
right.
still DJ and whatever... They literally photoshopped a picture. They didn't Photoshop back then, but put a picture of my head on John Travolta's body and put a
hilarious.
Speech bubble saying, come on, boys, don't miss the dance. So we actually did drag.
That's
drag
great.
Was common in our senior class because
right.
the seniors had privileges over the younger
That's
boys
so
that I
great.
Never abused.
Right.
But I got everyone that did abuse the younger kids to come out in tutus.
Right.
And when they we were doing the rehearsal, the guy running the show said, do not change a thing. So I was destined for the drag. The school did not make me a Quaker, but it
right.
did make me a drag queen. But there's no class for drag queen.
Now, if you're sharing a room with 7, is it one room?
Yes. Spartan. Like, quite Spartan, because Quakers are frugal.
But
it's another word
what
for
about,
cheap.
Right. But what about, like, if you want to jerk off or something?
Well, I mean, there's the... I mean, I was seeing outside men.
Right.
Did your boys know
off
about
the campus? Because, honey, I never ask a boy to do a man's job.
Right.
Okay? So I wasn't interested in their young asses
right.
anyway. I've
right.
always liked older men, of course, at my age. Now they're
right.
dead, so...
Oh.
But were they like, all right, whatever.
You know, they thought Americans were like really like sexed up. I don't think,
right.
I think that we had sex at a much younger age than most of the boys at
really?
The school. I won't say that in England for sure. They also thought I was crazy because I washed my hair every day.
Really?
That's fun. That's
yeah,
hilarious.
But we all did, didn't we? All in high school.
Not in England.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, and what about their teeth? Anyway, I love you guys. All right, so then you quit school, and you go to New York.
I go to Atlanta
to
Georgia State.
Okay,
and there was a kind of hung out on the new wave punk rock band
right.
straight mix scene. Met
right.
RuPaul. We were roommates.
Did you go to a show? Like, how'd you meet Ru?
We were go-go dancers for a band called the Now Explosion.
Mm-hmm.
That was at a time when he and I made the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm. I love him. Isn't he the best, though?
Yes.
He's such a nice guy. So, the first drag show you ever saw? Lipsynka. Is that correct?
Oh, no. No, I was sneaking in.
Excuse me. What the fuck is this note? First drag saw he ever saw. Lipsynka's first farewell performance in 1982.
Well, now she is old. So I'm not saying Lipsynka is not old.
Right.
But no,
I'm saying that Hennessy fucking put.
I was sneaking into, well, maybe no one knows this, but I was sneaking into gay clubs as early as 13. Where
was Roy Moore there?
No, but the weather in Alabama favors his election because it may dip into the teens.
No way. Whoa, that's a good one.
I like jokes from the internet.
Yeah.
dip into the teens. I snuck in, and you know, between like 13 and 14, I actually met Lady Chablis from Midnight.
Oh, yes!
She was a guest star.
No way.
Yeah. And went to her funeral not 2 years ago.
Wow.
So
okay. So you see the drag, like when you saw a drag show, were you like, oh my God, this is what I am meant to do?
I thought my mother, I love her, but she's no glamour puss. And these, where else had I seen in Chattanooga with high heels, you know, sequin dresses, false eyelashes, huge wigs and stuff. So I fell in love with them. And I think they could immediately tell this is not a tranny chaser.
Right.
This is one of us.
This
this one's going to be one of us. So it was just that kind of thing.
So where you meet RuPaul in Atlanta, and then what happens from that point on?
Well, we became best friends and roommates and performed together. And then he got a gig in New York, and I was one of the special guests. And I did an award-winning lip sync to I Will Survive. You know when there's that little lull in the beginning?
Yes.
Of the two-thirds of the way?
Yes.
Well, I was so drunk that I fell. Lost a shoe, lost a wig, but somehow within that lull, slapped the wig back on, got the shoe back on, and finished the number to tumultuous applause, and I was a regular at the Pyramid since then.
Oh, that is fucking great.
It was somewhat tragic. I think it might be on video.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
I'll find that.
Then, how were you making a living?
Dancing on the bar for $50 an hour and living with my sister. On 4th between C and D. She lived here at that time.
No way.
With a boyfriend who hated me. And at one point,
fuck
I was.
Him. He's
that
a
was
fucking
when.
Fucking asshole.
Well, he sure is. But the I remember what the first night that I got paid, because in Atlanta, we were always just kind of like, you know, scenery and we weren't really hard.
Right.
The first night we got paid to do drag, the first night I got paid, I was walking home to 4th between C and D when it was really, really rough. And
wait, I was just going to say, we have to talk about what it was like.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah. They did. Suddenly, this guy stepped out with a gun from behind a van and said, "You know, give me your money." And I was like, "I've just made the first money I've ever made in drag. You are not." So I literally ran from the gun, and
did
my life was not
him?
Worth $50, and it has depreciated considerably since then.
him the money.
No, I said I ran from the gun. Yeah. I was like, "Go ahead and shoot."
You know, did he shoot?
No.
Were you wearing heels?
Not the gun.
Hey, good night, folks. So, we have to explain what fourth Street between C and D was like.
It was not red velvet.
I mean, now it's like you can't fucking afford it. But it was. I mean, when I remember going down, like St. Mark's Place, you know, like lots and old fucking burnt out cars and crack and.
Subway cars covered in graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it was
you know.
Awful and stringent. I remember I was, because I just walked to, I had an audition on 44th Street, and the improv used to be on 44th between 8th and 9th. And I remember in the 80s when I'd walk there, you remember Times Square in the
80s? Oh, yeah.
I mean, it
but
was.
But I would rather see somebody saying coke, meth, or heroin, whatever, than I would Gucci, Prada, whatever.
Right.
That's our new addiction,
know,
designer labels to front and make ourselves look like we're doing better than we are. But someone interviewed me for like a club zine a couple years ago, and he said, so is New York City just turned into a big like
mall.
Sex in the city with clueless you know girls drinking bubble tea on their cell phone hobbling over the cobblestones in two high heels in the meat market? I said yes, and he said, well, tell me about this shooting that just happened on Christopher Street. It was about you know maybe
oh,
3
yes.
years ago.
Yes.
It was right, I think it was actually someone that was gay that did the shooting, but at any rate I said, well,
killed
you know
the gay guy.
I think it was shooting within a gay. I don't remember the details.
Right, right.
Gay on gay.
I thought it was a hate crime.
Gay on gay. Yeah. Anyway, I had this awareness at this at that moment because I was like, well, you know what? You can't pine for the way New York was and it wasn't so slick and so corporate. The fact is, we don't miss the muggings. We're older now. You know, is it nice to look back at the graffiti, you know, covered cars?
Yeah,
but we're essentially safe. You know, we romanticize what we look back on.
Also,
and is New York slick and corporate and somewhat, you know, dull? Every city is.
Yeah, but the big difference is that I moved here in 1984. I made no money, but I found an apartment. You know, I could live here. A starving artist could live in New York City.
Sure. Now, same thing with me in 84.
Right? So now, you can't be a starving artist and move and find an apartment in New York.
I think some of these club kids who you see out in these incredible outfits, they're living in Jersey or in the outer boroughs.
Right.
5-6 to a room.
Right. Oh, yeah. And what about fucking Brooklyn? Like, now you can't even afford Brooklyn. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, or Long Island City. That's turning into Wall Street. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yes!
I got an email from a realtor saying, Philadelphia, Manhattan's fifth borough. And I was oh, my God. Not my sister living there.
So you make your first $50. You're dancing on a bar. How long did that go on?
Well, occasionally I would undercut the other girls who maybe couldn't dance as well and do it for 40,
right?
Which was a bag of heroin for the owner,
right?
So I became, you know, like a staple,
right?
And through, you know, I mean, the organizing Wigstock was a result of being at the Pyramid and me thinking, these acts like John Kelly as Joni Mitchell or Lipsinka, these deserve a wider audience. Plus, there was a band in Tompkins Square Park, a band shell in Tompkins Square Park, where they would literally just like have heavy metal bands jamming those like 30-minute masturbatory guitar solos. And I just thought, you know, as someone that had always put on shows in my backyard with the neighborhood, I said, I can do better than that.
Right.
So, you know, that's what started that. Just me wanting to showcase the drag at the Pyramid, because in Atlanta, the drag was, you know, very polished pageant drag, dead on Tina Turner, Jennifer Holliday, Cher, Melissa Manchester in the butterfly sequin tops.
I just worked with her last night.
Whoa.
I love her.
Well, anyway, it was
isn't she the best?
It was very serious.
Oh, so, Melissa Manchester.
You know,
sorry.
Coming up to New York and seeing people impersonate, you know, Maria Callas.
I know,
Or Janis Joplin.
Right.
It was like, it just kind of, you know, drove
Janis
me crazy.
Joplin? I don't know if Janis Joplin was Jewish. Or she has a Jewish name. Anyway, okay. So, I mean, this all brings back such memories for me. So here you are. You're doing all this stuff. Are you making cash? Like, how are you living?
Well, as when you moved here, someone said, my rent is $500. Do you want to split it? You know, we slept in the same bed, you know, but $250, even dancing for $50, you know, a couple times.
Right.
I did have a job at a publishing company that my sister worked at briefly.
Right. I did that too. I was a typesetter. Mm-hmm. And I lived with an opera singer. But he would go on the road all the time, so I'd get the whole plate. But he had a cat that would bring in fucking dead pigeons. And I was like, I can't. And he's like, that means the cat likes you. It's bringing you a present. I'm like, no! All right. So, Norma. Well,
how did they
like,
taste?
No! Oh, gross! Okay. So here you are. It's the mid-80s. You're dancing. You're in the club scene. You're a club kid. The AIDS crisis hits. What I remember from this period of time, I mean, I remember thinking, like, first of all, I tried to tell people, like, you couldn't hide being gay anymore. Like, you saw so many men walking down the street emaciated with sore, you know, it was such a weird time. But it was also, here you are in your 20s going, dealing with death. Like, you know what I mean? Dealing with going, oh, these are my friends and they're going to die. You know?
Well, and they died very quickly back then. They didn't hang on.
Didn't
it was never the ones you wanted to go.
Right.
Ah!
Woo! Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, that I made it out of there alive. I mean, the three high-risk groups
right.
are Black and Latino men, the only men I sleep right. with, IV drug users. East Village is the number right. one IV drug right. user thing, was, as you said, syringes on the floor. Yeah. And gays. Well, I'm right. all three, so for me to right. not get it, you know, is like right. a miracle.
You're so, did you get tested all the time?
No, because I'm a hypochondriac. Nurse's mama's
oh,
boy.
Oh, right, right, right.
So I was too scared to get tested until I took a Valium or something and was in it. Because in New York, they actually, they may not take your name, but right. they record if you are positive.
Right.
And I'm a hypochondriac. So, of right. course, every blemish was a lesion. Right. Every cold was pneumonia.
Right.
You know, and so I was, you know, like a freak. You know, damn. And I mean, my mom, bless her heart, would send me articles like, you know, cat AIDS, feline AIDS.
Oh, yeah, remember feline?
The symptoms of AIDS, or doctors question the safety of herbal teas. And right. at that point, I said, Mom, I know that you love me, but right. I don't need to be any more scared than I am.
Right.
So I finally got the test in LA where they were collecting the reason they were doing the free testing that was anonymous. Well, I didn't get it until I was 40. But right. I mean, you know, my mom, of course, you know, doctors always want you to get it. But
did
I said,
you always wonder? Like,
of course,
until that
but I
yeah.
said to the doctor, you monitor my white blood cells. If I'm not having night sweats or, you know, diarrhea that doesn't go away, or if I'm having lesions,
right.
then we will, you know, have the test. But I knew that if I got the test and I was positive, I would worry myself into
right.
the grave within a week.
Right.
So
right.
I waited until I was like 40, popped a Valium, and the went in and got the test with a friend who was HIV positive.
Right.
And it was, I mean, the odd thing is that being negative is actually a huge responsibility.
Right.
Because, you're not thinking. I mean, listen, they dispute this, but Donna Summer said something like, you know, gay people deserve AIDS, and there was a big blip.
Right.
Or God is.
I don't dispute it.
This is not uncommon. You know, so, listen, we're talking about the South and how I had it so great and was on student council, whatever.
Right.
Listen, those messages from your church or
right,
other family
right,
members,
right.
that's a deep-seated shame.
Right.
So, that can translate
and
to
also,
I deserve this. You're a fucking
right.
fag. You're gonna get
right,
it.
Right.
You're a whore. I
this
mean, but
is
listen,
God punishing
nobody
you.
Made
yeah.
me. Nobody made me a slut except myself. I chose
right.
to act on sexual urges. Of course, it's hideous that something as natural as sex would be
right.
blighted by a fatal, and it was fatal then, disease.
Right.
But it was. Knowing that I'm positive, actually, I mean that I'm negative, actually. Is a huge burden to
this is another like issue with the millennials who think like when I work in theater or something and these young gay kids, I'm like wear a condom and that here's another thing where they're thinking I'm not gonna get it or it's like having the flu like.
Well, they think that they're not going to get it.
Right.
And if they do, it's not such a big deal because
right,
it's
right,
not
right.
a death sentence
right.
anymore.
Right.
But then they're also taking PrEP, which is kind of like it reduces your viral load to where even if you don't have it, even if you do have HIV, it would not be transmitted if you have condomless
right.
sex because it makes your viral load so low. But honey, just like, you know, it's a cold sore.
Right.
I don't trust any
right,
man.
Right.
I don't believe any man. I made it through all that thing by putting
right.
a condom on every, you know, dick
right.
that was there. So I don't know. I mean, a condom is a lot cheaper than PrEP. I mean,
right.
I just would not trust. What, you miss a day? Is it like birth control?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
you miss a day and, oh, well, oops, I guess I was transmissible
right.
on that day.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I'm not.
That's, it's unbelievable
trans
how
everything.
Far they came.
I mean, condoms break, you know,
right.
occasionally, but.
Yeah, I don't trust anyone either. What?
I was just going to ask about you feeling a burden from not being positive. Is that a survivor's guilt type of thing? Because you did go through war like during that time.
It's not so much a survivor's guilt. You know, someone said something to me from my Atlanta days when AIDS first hit. They said, don't be a statistic.
Right.
Now, I do not know what in my brain that appealed to, but that sunk in, and I said, don't get this. You know?
Right, so absolutely.
I just like one of those weird things that just stuck in your head. So I don't think it was survivor's guilt, but it was like, okay, now that I've assumed that I am HIV positive until mid-40s.
Right. I mean, that's unbelievable that you thought that the whole fucking time.
Well, my mother's a nurse, so she was saying, if your white blood cells are then there's an infection, you need to, check that out. And they were. So, you know, so.
Who was
congratulations.
Who was the first person, either, you know, who succumbed in your life? Like, who was the one where you went, oh my God, this is hitting home?
An artist named Tom Rubinitz, who put Anne Magnuson and me and RuPaul and others in his little experimental shorts, some of which have become, there's one called Pickle Surprise, which is a cooking short. And it's so, you know, trippy that it's actually, there's like little, it's become a viral hit. And there's young, you know, people like impersonating us doing their own version
God,
of it.
Oh my God, I love
that. It's insane. But you know what? I was so scared of AIDS back then that I did not go and visit my dear friend Tom. He always had a whether I was supporting me putting on wig stock or just me as a solo performer, he always, you know, made me feel that as someone older that he recognized something in me. And because he was so skeletal and so emaciated, and because I was so afraid that I probably had it, I didn't visit him as much as I could, and that's something you can never take back. So
yeah, I remember the Tony who ran Catch a Rising Star Comedy Club. I remember when you go to the hospital and it was like you were quarantined, you know? But I remember thinking, I had read that I knew you can't get it from like saliva or whatever, you know? And I remember always like holding hands, you know, I felt like that was the most important. It was just a fucking horrible time, you know.
I mean, you know, the other thing, and the thing that I was so, you know, careful about is they would say, you know, you can't get it through saliva, but if there's a cut in your mouth, and am I the only person that's ever flossed my teeth until they're bleeding?
No, that's what friends, we were in a relationship, and one was positive, and one was negative, and like they could not make out if one flossed. If the one flossed.
Or, I mean, I don't know if it causes blood, but there, me being a hypochondriac, I was like, you know, when you eat the crust of a piece of pizza, it abrades the delicate skin on your mouth. I was like, is that going to be the entryway?
Yeah, right. If you have like cracked
lips.
Don't
suck a dick today.
Yeah.
Which I do now.
After
Bed Bath & Beyond sold me another humidifier that doesn't work.
Is that true?
After 2 weeks,
20%
yes.
20% off, though. Didn't you get 20% off? You got, are you fucking kidding me? You don't know about the Bed Bath & Beyond 20% off?
No.
Okay. Bunny. Every fucking, there's.
But I don't want to patronize them because for the past 3 years, they've sold me a humidifier that stopped working.
What kind of humidifier?
Expensive.
Get it on Amazon.
Expensive.
That's not the name of the brand,
it doesn't matter
Bunny.
Where you get it, if it doesn't work.
Yes, but you can look at reviews.
I'm going to go to a hardware store and get one of those cheap ass ones because the
you know what, you can put a fucking pan of water in your room and it'll do the same fucking thing.
Amazon. Check out there. I got a good one on Amazon.
Sorry, I used to get so sick with the humidifier because if you don't clean it every fucking 5 minutes, it just puts germs all over your room. All right. Anyway, fuck. Who cares? All right. I heard we have some new Christmas tracks.
Yes, from my Christmas show at Stonewall called Christmas Leftovers. I went to, do you know John Roberts, who does the voice of Linda on Bob's Burgers?
Yes.
He used to do crazy shows in the East Village, and I went to one at Joe's Pub recently. I said, I've got to do a Christmas show. Most of the dates are after Christmas, which is why it's calling it Christmas Leftovers. The 22nd through the 30th at Stonewall.
Oh, that's awesome.
7 p.m. And it's just some twisted.
Oh, maybe I'll stop in.
You are more than welcome as my guest.
I'm at, when is this airing? Who knows?
This is airing in 3 weeks. So it'll
Why
be
three
it, there
weeks?
Will be a couple, well, 2 weeks, no. Actually. Yamanika next week and then Bunny
right.
the week after.
So 2 weeks.
So people will hear, yeah. you know, people will be able to, you'll be able to grab, if you're in New York or around New York, yeah, you'll be able you to can, grab
you
the last can,
well, you know, the
nights.
Show may be extended because it's like.
Like my ass. Yeah.
And my stomach,
and
my nose. yeah. And my chin.
Yeah.
Anyway. I can walk to work at Stonewall, and I did a show there that lasted for like a year and a half, and I really, you know, miss it. And I don't, you know, when you go on the road, you do like your standard bits. And my last show at Stonewall was kind of it was comedy, but it was raunchy comedy, but there was a message in it about political correctness.
Right.
But this show is more like do the fun stuff that they like out in the boonies and just go out there and hit it, girl. Throw a wig on your head and just give it
you
to
you guys
them.
Better go. It's at Stonewall, the
22nd through the 30th on Brown Paper Tickets at 7 p.m.
Also, no one loves Christmas more than the Jews since we wrote all of the fucking Christmas
That's
songs.
That's true.
Bunny
has DJing 6 to 10 at the Monster every Sunday night, so check that out.
I want to go. I'm going. We're
not
going.
The last Sunday. That's Robin Bird's night.
Not really.
The last, yeah, she hosted on the last
wow,
Sunday.
Wow, I love that.
I love her.
So are we gonna be? Are we gonna play some tracks?
Yeah, for sure. This one is called.
Oh, don't go by the name because I think they'll hear. They'll know what it is when they hear it. They're all parodies.
Great.
That's
great. Isn't it great? It's minimal.
I have such a good song.
It's minimal.
We three spies of Soviet are Kushner, Flynn, and George Manafort. We're colluding with Vladimir Putin to make Trump America's czar.
Okay, that's
I love that.
That's
silly.
Manafort.
This
I
is
love
what
that.
This is my favorite.
Christmas, I met Santa Claus. Santa whipped his cock out. It hung to his thigh. I opened my mouth, and when I started to cry, Santa Claus just came in my mouth.
I love this shit.
He'll screw you when you're sleeping, and he won't even use grease. Then suddenly, it dawned on me, is Santa Claus Harvey Weinstein?
Give me the bell. Give me the bell.
Yes.
Yes.
You're a mean one, Mr. Trump. Your heart is full of holes. Your hair's a weird contraption full of gray and orange streaks, Mr. Trump. You're one of the wealthiest people on the planet, and your hair looks like Stevie Wonder is your barber. If Stevie Wonder were an alcoholic with arthritis and Parkinson's disease. You're a racist, Mr. Trump. You're the king of bigotry. And the folks who think you're classy use their sleeves to blow their nose, Mr. Trump. Don't you dare mess with the Latinos. Because when you mess with the Latinos, when you mess with the Latinos, you're messing with my asshole, motherfucker.
Don't forget to tune in next week for part two on Kill Me Now.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.